All right. Amen. Good morning, Brighton Heights. Such a blessing to be here. I want to thank Pastor Gary and the leadership team for inviting me back. Must not have messed it up too bad last time. So appreciate your having me. Love being here. Love seeing you guys. Let's open with prayer, can we? Thank you, Lord. Father, we do pray this morning, just as we sang. Father, pour out your presence, Lord God. Pour out your spirit. Stir this place up, we ask, God. God, we don't want to leave here the same as when we came in. And we can't do that on our own. You have to do that, God. And you can do it by your spirit. So, Lord, pour it out today. Pour him out today. And stir us up in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, how many of you really like good adventure stories? Yeah, we love adventure stories, don't we? You know, maybe some of you, the younger ones or even older ones, we like Star Wars, Star Trek, right? Maybe if you're a reader, you like The Incredible Journey, especially if you're an animal lover, right? Anybody know The Incredible Journey? About two dogs and the cat that made their way back? Yeah, yeah. And we have other stories. Maybe some of the more older ones for older folks. Maybe you like the old cowboy and Indian ones. Anybody like the old cowboy and Indian stories? Anybody remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto? Oh, okay, yeah, I'm in the right group. Okay, good, good. How about Jules Verne fans, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Yeah. See, we love those adventure stories, don't we? And we really, what's common in all those stories? They have a villain. They have a hero. They have a plot. There's twists and turns. There's all kinds of conflict. But then there's victory and reward, right? We love that whole process, right? But the problem is we like to watch it and read it vicariously. We like to watch it and read it when somebody else is going through it. We like a substitute rather than going through it ourselves. Because we love the story, but we're not really sure we like the process. Well, I have news for you. And you probably already know this, but I'm just gonna let you know anyway. If you're a born-again Christian and you're doing your best to follow God by his Holy Spirit, you are in the middle of and living through one of the greatest adventure stories there ever was. Amen. Yeah. That's exactly right. We get to be a part of God's story, and that's really cool. But the problem is, we all love a good adventure story. Don't you love to tell a good adventure story? But you're not really sure you liked all of it that you went through to get there. We're just kind of like, ah, yeah, that was tough. Oh, that was not what I expected. Ever been there? But when we walk with God and we walk with the Holy Spirit, we are in an adventure story where there is a hero. There is a villain. There is twists and turns to the plot. There is occasional conflict, but we know that there's victory and a reward that waits for us. Amen? Amen. And so as we look at those types of things, what's the adventure story we're going to tell? How is it going to look? One of our heroes, and how do I know that this thing is a story, it's an adventure for us? Because in the Bible, one of our heroes, the Holy Spirit, tells us this. This is the way he's described in John 14 and John 16. This is how the Bible describes him. As a comforter. Why would you need a comforter if there wasn't distress? Why would you need a comforter if you had to be persuaded to do certain things? How about counselor? Because there's going to be times of confusion. Maybe there's going to be times of just like, right? Maybe there's times when we get hurt and we need a comforter and we need a counselor. There's confirmations of the word of Jesus because we're going to need to know and have assurance that this is the way God wants us to go because that looks really crazy, God. Ever been there? But God, by his Holy Spirit, confirms the word to us. We need courage and boldness because we're going to step into trials, step into judgment, step into challenges. These are things that we're going to see, that we need somebody beside us, close beside us, an advocate, somebody who's advocating for us. It's almost like a legal term, like standing in trial and fighting the fight for us. There's going to be, occasionally, there's going to be conviction by the Holy Spirit. And occasionally, we're going to need to be set free, which we sang this morning, right? We sang about being set free from the chains that the world wants to put on us. So what does that tell you about the role of the Holy Spirit? I can tell you what it tells you. In all of those stories, there was always a sidekick. Chewbacca, Tonto, there was a sidekick, right? We get to be the sidekick of the Holy Spirit. If we're doing this right and we're following God and being led by His Holy Spirit, we get to be the sidekick. And we're going to need Him to set us free and to prepare us for what lies ahead. We're going to be the sidekick of the Holy Spirit. That is so exciting, because with God, we want that adventure story. We want to tell that adventure story. We're not sure we want to have all that goes up to that adventure story. But with the Holy Spirit, there's never going to be a dull moment. If we will follow Him, there will never be a dull moment. And we will eventually see victory and reward. You know, our signature scripture for this series in Acts, and this is the seventh part of it. The signature scripture comes out of Acts 17. These men who have turned the world upside down. Paul and Silas, this is who was being described. Why do you think they were being described that way? Because they had such great ideas? No, because they were following the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led them into situations where they began to turn the world upside down, and this is how other men saw it. It didn't make them happy. The other men. Paul and Silas, I'm sure, were fine. But these are the men who turned the world upside down. Wouldn't you like to have that said of you? But we can't do that unless we join in to the adventure that God has for us through His Holy Spirit. You know, the church was born in the ministering, worshiping power of the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. The church was born in the ministering, worshiping power of the Holy Spirit. And how do you think it's going to go forward? How do you think it's going to end? How do you think it's going to be victorious? Through the worshiping, ministering power of the Holy Spirit. Not because we're so great. Philippians 1:6 says this. It says, "And I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you," within us, "we'll continue the work until it is finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns." So what does that tell us? It wasn't us. He started this thing. He'll finish this thing. And in between, we get to be a part of the adventure. Who's ready to be part of an adventure with God? Okay, half of us. All right, we're going to work on the other half. Because today I want my words today to come from the Word of God, to encourage you, to bring life to you, so that you are willing and able to jump in to be a part of the journey with God. I received the Lord when I was 17. It's 44 years ago. It's been an interesting journey. It's been an adventure. Prior to coming here in college, every spring break, we would go into the worst part of the Bronx. And that was in the early 80s, when AIDS was first starting to come out. Nobody knew how it was really transmitted, other than through the obvious. Could it be transmitted other ways? But we were ministering and working with a ministry down there that was allowing people who had AIDS to have a dignified place to pass. And so we were working with people that had full-blown AIDS. We had no clue, but we trusted God. It was also the height in New York City of crack use. And we would walk down the streets, because the church people were all living in apartments along this one long street. And we would walk up and down the sidewalks together, never alone, never alone. And the crack addicts would come out at you. And there were crack vials all over the floor, the street, and they filled the gutters. And I remember once our leader asked me to walk these young sisters back to the apartments they were staying in, and being a 21-year-old guy, I was just like, yeah, sure, why not? And so I walked them back, and I got them all the way back to their apartments. And it started to get dusk because we were just chattering way too much. And I'm sure the leader didn't think it would be that dark by the time I got them all back to their apartments. So I'm a good mile from where I'm staying, and it's getting dark. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get back by myself? We're not supposed to be alone. I'd already seen enough. How am I supposed to get back on my own? Walking up these, and the streets in the Bronx, all the doors are in, so there's all these dark spaces all the way along. And I thought, where's the safest place for me to be? So it's a 4-lane road. Traffic never stops in New York, and I thought the safest place for me to be is in the middle of the road. So I jogged the mile back on the center lane, on the center stripe, all the way back to my apartment, so I wouldn't have to be close to anything that could jump out. I'm scary anyway, son. And as I was jogging back, I had all these people honking and yelling and waving encouragement to me. Cheered me on, but I made it back. When I came here and we started getting involved, Venture led to Honduras and doing some great things down there. And then Haiti, I can't count how many times I've been to Haiti. And just seeing some of the miraculous things that have taken place. And I'm getting ready to retire in 45 days, but I'm not counting, from my secular job. And I am looking forward to starting a new chapter. Starting a new chapter, because I'm gonna go to Liberia with Pastor Gary. I wanna go back to Haiti. I wanna be a part of the Pittsburgh mission. I want this new adventure to be a new chapter. How about you? See, we're never too old to get involved in with the adventure of God. I mean, for goodness sakes, I look at Moses, he didn't start his real adventure until he was 80. I got a ways to go. Thank you for not saying. So how does this adventure look? I will tell you that following God does not mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's problem-free, but it is miracle-filled. And if you say, I've never seen miracles, then maybe you're not following the Holy Spirit. Because I have learned that the Holy Spirit and his miraculous work doesn't happen until I'm really desperate for him. That's when he really shows up and does the amazing things. And have we put ourselves in the middle of this adventure, following the Holy Spirit, putting us in a place where maybe, just maybe, we become desperate for God and his Holy Spirit? So, what does this adventure look like? I'm so glad you asked. We're going to look into Acts 16 today. And we're going to talk a little bit about Paul and Silas and how they were moving through the land on I think it was his third missionary journey. And they went through the towns of Derbe and Lystra, and they ran into this guy by the name of Timothy. And they pulled him in, and they thought great things of him, and they made him a part of the ministry. And they started training him to become a part of what God was doing. And then they started... They wanted to go to all these different places in Asia, and it says the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. Ever have plans that God wouldn't let you fulfill? Are we listening to God when he says no? Or do we just go, that's my flesh, get behind me, Satan? Because that's what I want to do. See, but Paul had a vision. A Macedonian man was saying, come, we need help. Macedonia wasn't on Paul's list. He wasn't someplace he wanted to be. He wasn't planning on this, but he said, come. And that vision was confirmed. It isn't just one of those things, oh, I have a vision. I don't know what I'm doing. No, it was a very specific vision for a very specific purpose, confirmed by men of God around him. That's what the Macedonian vision was. And he was obedient, and they went to Philippi. Well, in Philippi, there's no temple. And so he went down to the only place he could find were maybe believers or people who were seeking God could find, and that was down by the river. And he met Lydia. Now, here's when you know it's God, right? He walks in, he starts preaching, people start getting saved, people start following, and then this Lydia lady comes up and she believes. And she says, basically, I'm pretty wealthy. I'm gonna bankroll your ministry. Everybody likes those kinds of stories, don't we? Ooh, yeah. Everything's going good. We must be in the will of God. Hold on, there's more to the story. Amen? All right. And so, here's where we pick up in Acts 16:16. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Well, isn't that interesting? The devil is proclaiming God's servants. But there's a twist. So what was this slave girl, what was the demon in her? Well, Luke actually writes it. And I love Luke's detail in Acts. And he tells us what that is, but in the translations, they just usually say spirit of soothsaying or spirit of divination, but it was actually a spirit of the python. And as far as I can tell from the reading of it, this was where they would be infested by demons as they let snakes run all over them. I could never be a part of that ministry. And they would have these pythons and they'd have all these things on them. And so they often took on the characteristics of the snake. And these men probably bought this slave girl so that they would help them build a business. And her power was demonic. And then in verse 18, it says, "This went on day after day, and Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' Instantly, it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace." I've read this for years and years and years, and I thought, if somebody's proclaiming that you're telling them about Jesus Christ, why are you getting exasperated? Because I had in my mind this thing where Paul and Silas are walking and she's going, "Hey, servants of the Most High God, listen to them because they'll tell you how to be saved." That's not it at all. Because if they were taking on the attributes of the snake, she was probably hissing and contorting and foaming at the mouth and doing all kinds of weird things. That's not the way God wants his work meshed with. He doesn't want that to be a proclamation of him. He wants upright. He wants righteous. He wants bold and he wants courageous. But he wants it forthright. Not some twisted way of doing it. And so it says Paul got exasperated. He cast the demon out of her. Now, we look at that and we go, awesome, right? She got set free. And we love it. I've been in Haiti where people have been, we've prayed for people to be healed from the demonic. And the results are amazing. You see transformation that fast when that demon leaves. I've seen this. This isn't a story that once upon time was. This is a story that continues to go on and we get to be a part of. If you want to be a part of that adventure, you want to be a part of what God's doing, you want to see the power of God moving people and see them get set free, then that is the adventure you need to be a part of. God's Holy Spirit adventure. Now, I'm going to take a second here. I want to let you know that maybe you don't have demons, but you have stuff. I have stuff. And we need to work on that stuff. We need to get set free from it. We sing about it all the time, don't we? But what are we actually doing about it? See, are we just singing about it? Or are we actually doing something about it? I want to let you know there's an opportunity for you to come, that's coming up for you to deal with your stuff. Yeah, victory and freedom. And if you haven't been there, I want to encourage you to get there because the men are going to be right here. The women are going to be in Murraysville. It's February 26th. You want to deal with your stuff? You want to get set free from it? a great place to start. Amen? Thank you. One of you is happy to hear that. Good. All right. Let's go on to verse 20. Let me just back up. You know, there's four areas that I see that most people have stuff that they have to deal with. Unforgiveness, fear, shame, and guilt. Unforgiveness, fear, shame, and guilt. You have something in that area? Then let's get to victory and freedom. That's a good place to start. Now I'll move on. Sorry. All right. So verse 20. The whole city is in uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials. Now, they were. Not the whole city. They were. So there's an exaggeration here. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us as Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. I don't think that that's the adventure we're looking for. Who says sign me up for that adventure? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. Woo. But that's where the Holy Spirit took them. That's part of the conflict. See, we know the villain in this story, don't we? We know who the villain is. It's the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy. It's the one who walks around like a roaring lion. Didn't say he is one. He says like one. Trying to scare us. He's the adversary. He's the prince of this world. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's named as. And he is a villain whom we will have victory over. Because I don't care how much you oppose him, he's going to keep coming after you. If he was willing to keep coming after Jesus, he's going to keep coming after us until he's dealt with by God. But that's the point. In the end, who gets the victory? God. And we get to be right along with it. And so that's a great opportunity to understand that we do have a villain, and we get to be a part of the system that works. And anytime you oppose the world's systems, maybe you know that even more in the last 2 years, anytime you oppose the world's systems, the enemy is going to come after you, and there could be attack on us. But God gets the victory. Verse 23, and they were severely beaten. And they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon. That's the bottom of the bottom, the deepest of the deepest, the place at the very, very lowest place. And he clamped their feet in stocks. I have bad news for you. If you didn't already know this, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not a place to become complacent or comfortable. We can't become complacent or comfortable. We can't be people that are faint of heart. Do you know what the foundation of a Christian walk is? Courage. Courage. It bolsters our faith because we believe and are willing to stand for what is true and what is real. Courage. We are called to be a courageous people. John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you." What things? That you can pray in my name, that I will hear you, that I will respond. These are the things that Jesus said. These things that I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Not world peace, peace. In the midst of it, we have peace. Because in the world you're going to have tribulation. But take courage, I've overcome the world. Let me change that to the Gavin translation, that last line. Can I do that? In this world, you're going to get opposition, and things aren't going to go your way all the time. But you need to be people of courage. You need to be courageous. You need to stand for what is right, no matter what the cost. And the more you do, the more the struggle will get. The bigger the fight will become. Why? Because we know that there's a reward, because Jesus said he overcame all of it. And he will bring victory and reward. We need to be people of courage. Courage. That's so important, because the world wants us to conform to every little thing that they want to do. But who are we conforming to if we do? We're conforming to the prince of this world. We need to be people of courage who stand up for Jesus. And the more you speak about Jesus in this world, and the more you talk about his power, the more tribulation you will incur. You believe me? But we got to be people of courage. And that's who he's called us to be. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we will have victory. But here's the lie. Here's the lie that so many American Christians have bought into. That if we accept Jesus, it's all going to go smoothly. I'm glad to hear some people laughing at that. Because it's a lie. See, the idea that it's smooth sailing, problem-free living, that's a myth. And it's a distraction from reality. And quite honestly, it's a way for the enemy to sow seeds of discord and discontent in your heart. Because what happens when things don't go the way we want them to? Where were you, God? He was right there. By his Holy Spirit, he walked you right into that. Woo-hoo! Huh? See, we buy into this that a Christian walk, our walk should be easy and smooth, but it's not. He just told us, in this world you will have smooth sailing. Isn't that what he just said? No, you will have struggle. And that's awesome. So we look at Paul and Silas, and it says they're in the inner dungeon. It's a nasty place. There's stocks on their feet. They couldn't even get up to go use the restroom. I mean, the jailer went home. They were stuck there. They had all this success early on, right? And they're thinking, what happened? They even had the devil promoting them, sort of. There are times in our lives when we stay true to the call of God, not accepting anything from man that would be false or compromising, and it will bring us into a less favorable situation. It will bring us into a place where we struggle. Let me make it clear. That does not mean you're not in God's favor. It probably means you are in his favor. Probably means you're right where he wants you to be. But just because we struggle, just because it's not perfect, doesn't mean that we're out of God's favor. Quite the opposite. Look, every time I planned on going on a mission trip, and I've been on a lot of them, something went wrong ahead of time. One time the water heater went out. One time we had car issues. One time we had kid issues. We have all of these things. And when we make those types of commitments, do you not think that the enemy doesn't put a bullseye on us and try to dissuade us from those things? Like, hey, God, I made a commitment to tithe 10%, and I made a commitment to the One Vision campaign. And now look, my dishwasher broke. My car got impounded. My dog ran away. So write a country song. And move on. Hey, God, I joined this group, this connection group, and the one person in the church I don't want to see joined it too. I decided to go to a Victory and Freedom weekend. Ugh. You know the story. You've lived it, right? You've seen this happen over and over and over again, where when you commit to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, the enemy will look for any way he can to discourage, distract, or disillusion you from the purposes that he has for you. Don't be caught up into them. You know, every time I have found a really good excuse not to do something God told me to do, every time I've had the best excuses. My pastor, when I was 1 year in the Lord, said, every time you have an excuse not to, that's when you need to be there. Every time you're too tired or you have too much to do, you need to be there. And every time I've showed up when I didn't want to and I needed to, God met me there. Because God will honor obedience. All right, let's jump to verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening, and suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. And all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. We just sang that this morning, right? That the walls of the prison fell down. You're so prophetic. Midnight. This is at midnight. And they were singing. Have you ever noticed that you get the loneliest, you're the sickest, Your mind races at midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight. And the older I get, I find out nothing good happens after 10. It's just true. In your deepest, darkest, loneliest times, the Holy Spirit will show up if you give him opportunity. How do you open the door for the Holy Spirit? Our flesh wants to complain. It wants to rail against God. It wants to be grumpy, right? But your spirit is saying praise, worship, sing, give glory to God. You want to give up, but God says, don't give up. Press in. How are we going to respond to those flesh moments? The next time it happens and you want to complain against God, you want to rail against God, you want to rail against somebody else, you want to do something like that, begin to praise God. Begin to worship him. In the deepest, darkest times, Paul and Silas began to worship. And what happened? God showed up. And more importantly, the other prisoners had their chains fall off too. And none of them left. Because people are going to watch. If you claim to be a Christian, people are going to watch how you respond to adversity. They're going to watch how you respond to tribulation. You're constantly being watched. By coworkers, by people in the church, by your kids. We're constantly being watched. What's the witness that we bring to them? You know what about Paul and Silas I like? Is that they refuse to allow their external situation, they refuse to let their external situation affect their inner peace and security. But instead, they let their inner peace and security affect their external situation. Don't we want to impact our external situation, our environment? Let's start with praise. Let's start with praising God. Let's worship God. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us into dark, lonely, confused places so that he can show us something about us. And you know what he usually shows us? Where our character is. Scripture talks about the weight of glory, the weight of anointing, the weight of the things of God. What does it rest on? What's the foundation of it? Your character. My character. God's in the character business. He's about building us up to become the people that can represent him. Amen? Amen. See, in the face of opposition, in the face of distraction, in the face of tribulation, what did they do? They worshiped. In the darkest times, in the deepest place, in the most foul condition, what did they do? They worshiped. And God showed up. This happened before in Acts 4. We talked about that before a few weeks ago. Where Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin. And they came back and they worshiped. And God shook the place and the Holy Spirit fell out on them. I like that. That's a great outcome. I want to see that happen. Let's move on to verse 27. And the jailer woke up and he saw the prison doors wide open and he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. Why? Because he was given the assignment that these men should not escape unto his death. If they got out, he was going to be put to death. So he was just going to beat them to the punch. That's how much dedication. And Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for the lights, and he ran to the dungeon, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Not only did Paul and Silas stay, everyone stayed. They wanted to see what's happening. Pastor Keith often says that if you'll get caught on fire by the Holy Spirit, people will gather and watch you burn. People want to see what the Spirit of God is, what something real and authentic is. They want to see people get set free. And sometimes we're in a place where our tribulation is going to set somebody free. And we short circuit it, or we try to get out of it, rather than following the Holy Spirit through it and watching the victory that takes place at the end. Verse 30. Then he brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Believe, full of faith, conviction, confidence, trust. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. The Holy Spirit can set others free through our tribulation. You believe that? I hope you do. He can set others free. Look, these guys had favor, then they were beaten, then they were jailed, then they were worshipped, then we see a miracle, and now they're seeing people get saved. That's a pretty cool timeline. That's a pretty cool adventure. That's a pretty cool story. Look, I know many of you have been through dark times. Maybe you're going through some dark times. It's true for all of us. My nephew right now is in an ICU with COVID-related respiratory issues. We've been praying for situations in our family, and to be honest, a lot of them look pretty hopeless. But this is what I know. I serve a God of miracles. I trust the God of miracles. I trust the God who overcomes darkness, dark times, with miraculous moves. One thing I've learned, and I will tell you, don't give up. No matter what the situation is, never give up. Never, ever give up. Because we serve the God of the miraculous. And God is not bound by our situation. But he has something better. He has victory and reward. We may not see it, but he is the God of victory. He is the God of miracles. If we like it when the stories are in the Bible, but it's tough when it's our story. And I want to encourage you that this is the God of hope. As she was praying this morning, we serve the God of hope. So never become hopeless. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of what God can and will do. Verse 33, and even as the hour of the night, the jailer called for them and he washed their wounds. And he said, everyone in his household were immediately baptized. That's pretty amazing. Don't you want to have those stories? Don't you want to have those stories to tell? That everybody in the household got baptized. We have baptisms coming up in March. Who hasn't been baptized? Get water baptized. There's something special about it. And then the town officials came and they sent the police and they said, just go away. And Paul said, no. You violated some principles here. You violated some principles as a Roman citizen. He had rights. And they violated those. And when they found out he was a Roman citizen, they came and begged him, apologized, and begged him to leave. See, God will bring, when we do it right, He will bring vindication to us. And he will do what's right. When we respond to what he's calling us to do, there's no better place to be. I want to tell you that this story, this Holy Spirit adventure, it often starts with a vision from God. Paul had a Macedonian vision. He didn't want to go there. He didn't want to do this. But he obeyed God. He did something that most of us have a tough time doing. Following God when we're not really excited about it. But he did. And as a result, there was victory. Not just on the earth, but in heaven. Because it says rejoice. The heavens rejoice whenever anybody is saved. In the middle, it was volatile. It was like weird, right? It was seemingly out of control. And doesn't that seem like sometimes when we're following God that we get this, I know this is what God told me to do, but man, this is not working out really well. And it seems like it's out of control. But if we stay steadfast to the things of God, and we stay listening to the Holy Spirit, and we follow God, good things will come about. and God will get the victory, and we will see the reward. But we cannot be people who are faint-hearted. We need to be people that are courageous, who will believe God for the miraculous, who will trust God for something bigger than what we can see. Isn't that what faith is? Seeing something that we can't even see. He's looking for courageous, bold, submitted, surrender people who know there's more to life than just kind of living it. Surviving it. He's called us to victory. He's called us to something bigger. And sometimes it starts with a vision, but it always ends in victory when God's in the middle of it. This adventurous life where we get to be the sidekick of the Holy Spirit because we're listening to His direction. We're following Him. We're listening to what He has. Take a risk. It's going to involve a risk. What are some of the risks that we can take? Maybe it's going on a missions trip. Maybe not. Maybe it's something as simple as inviting someone to church. Has that ever weighed you out before? Ooh. The person that you least want to invite them. How about spending time? We talked about back when we were doing the series on Psalms. We talked about reading 3 chapters a day. Are you spending time with God every day? Are you talking with God? Are you praying? Are you hearing what He has to say? Not just telling Him what you want, but listening and aligning yourself with the purposes of God. That's what prayer is all about. Aligning ourselves up when we know what the purpose of God is. Offer to pray with someone you encounter in the world out loud right there. Oh. Ooh. How about going to taking your next step? What's your next step? If you don't know, talk to your leaders. Talk to your connection group leaders. See, when we live adventurously, there's lots we can do. Maybe that next step is victory and freedom. Maybe it's giving consistently. Maybe it's serving on a team or or getting to next steps. Maybe it's volunteering at the food bank or Embrace Grace or getting to the Arrows Parenting Conference. Not being too proud to do it. Let's look at who was affected. Who was affected by Paul's willingness to surrender what he wanted to do and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit? A slave girl was set free. A jailer and his family got saved and baptized. A businesswoman, Lydia, started investing in the kingdom of God. The Philippian church was established. An entire book of the Bible was written to them. That's no small thing. Because of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you stand with me for a moment? How many of you want to be a part of a Holy Spirit adventure? I do. Amen. That adventure starts with first giving your heart to Jesus Christ. You know, this will be the most amazing adventure you've ever been on. But you need to start by accepting Jesus Christ, by calling out to Him and saying, Jesus, I need You. I have messed up my life, but You can save it. You can redeem it. And we look at God and He can forgive us for our past and He can lead us into our future. He can become our Savior and He can become our Lord. And takes both parts. If there's anybody here today who says, I really need to turn my life over to God. I really want to be a part of that adventure, and I want to start today by giving my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to do something real bold and just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to pull you up here. We just have people who want to pray with you. Is there anybody here today that would say, that's me? I want to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, many of you raised your hands and you said, I want an adventure with God. I want an adventure led by the Holy Spirit. I want an adventure where I'm going to see great things of God and of the kingdom come to pass. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank You for everyone here. I thank You for the work that You're doing in and through them. I thank You for the work that You have done. And God, I thank You that they have a heart to hear You and to follow You. God, open all of our ears. to hear your Spirit speak in our life, day in and day out. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray for an outpouring of just the power of God, the boldness of God, the courage of God to fill our hearts, God. That we would not be those who shrink back to destruction, as your Bible, as your word says. But we would be people who would be bold and courageous. For, Father, I pray you'd pour that Spirit out on all of us. So this morning, I want us to take a minute. I don't care where you are, whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley. Paul and Silas taught us one thing. Worship. Worship. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing right now. We're going to worship God. Because if you're in the darkest place right now, you need to worship. If you're on the high, you need to worship. Because we need to worship God and bring out that worship out of our spirit and stir us up in Jesus' name. Let's sing, church.